Okay, today's date is Monday, May the 17th, 2021, the time now, 6:32 p.m. Director Fred Mays and the GBI Office of Professional Standards. I'm speaking with Special Agent Justin Jones. He is currently assigned to the GBI Southwestern Regional Drug Enforcement Office, but he's now going through the GBI Basic Academy. We're located at the Georgia Public Safety Training Center in Forsyth, Georgia. Justin, how long have you worked for the GBI?
Since September 2020.
Okay. And you are currently assigned to the Southwestern Regional Drug Enforcement Office, is that correct?
Yes, sir. Correct.
Okay. When you graduate the academy, you're going to go back there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. On Wednesday, May the 12th, 2021, an incident happened. And you was asked to write a memorandum up to GBI Deputy Director for Investing, Chris Hosey. I have a copy of your statement here. Is there anything you want to change, delete, or add to this statement?
I kind of got short toward the end, maybe, because we were running out of time. I was not the fastest typer, so I didn't get as in-depth as when it came over to the room.
Okay. All right. If you want to talk about it, then you can when I ask you to describe what happened that night. I have your statement here. You ain't got to go with verbatim or whatever, but kind of tell me what happened on May the 12th, 2021.
I say it all started when this week we was in a different classroom, and this week Meg sat in front of me. And she, for me, she was in a row ahead of us, kind of like this. She was right here, and Kwame was right here. I was behind. And somebody made the comment that they was about to go get coffee. And I said, I'm about to go get something too. Q said, and then Meg said, she about to go get something too. So me, her, and Q, Kwame, we all walked down to the cafeteria. And on the way back, we was in the hallway leading to that classroom. Kwame made a comment that she had something on her butt. And she told him to get it off. And he said, no, kind of like, are you for real? You know, no. And she told him to go ahead and get it off. And he got it off right there in the middle of the hallway. I don't know if I got cameras or not. And that kind of gave me off the vibe then that she was kind of wanting attention, you know, doing that. And then when we got back in the class, Jason Cole was there, and she asked him if he had a lighter, if he would burn it restrained off for her. And I mean, so it was just kind of like, seemed like she was wanting attention. And fast forward, later in the day, we got to talking about food some type of way. I told her that we had went to the Rookery and ate in Macon one time. It was real good.
What's the name of the place?
The Rookery.
Okay.
And then, I don't know who it was. It might have been Cole, Jason. Somebody suggested going to Mexican after class. And everybody said, pretty much over there in that area, said they was going to do it. And fast forward, we get out of class around about 4:30-ish. And everybody go change clothes. That was going. I walked out to my truck. Kwame rode with me. And Stephen Pendergrass got in my truck also. Kwame got in. And I guess he was communicating with Megan. And I pulled around to her dorm, and she got in and rode with us also. We got to the Mexican restaurant, and that's where they started drinking. Kwamir, Megan, and Steven, Jason, Cole, and Eric White, they came later on. Them two drove themselves, Eric drove his Tahoe, Jason drove his truck. We got to eat, and the only thing sexual that I remember of that, when we were eating at that time, was when someone made a joke about Quamir being erect in the morning when we stretching for PT. Some of the guys made jokes. It was like, okay. And I remember it kind of sticking out to me that, you know, Meg chimed in on the jokes, saying she don't know whether the look would cover her eyes. And that was kind of it for that. It really wasn't too much talk outside of general conversation at the Mexican restaurant that I can really remember. Nothing that really stick out other than that at the Mexican restaurant. They started drinking, like I said, and we made one of the assumption that some of the other class members were, a lot of the other class members that chose not to go was at the, at the brewery. Yes, sir. We thought it was a large number of people, and Meg said she wanted to go. And when everybody went over and paid, that's when the kind of last minute decision, like, Quamir asked me if I wanted to go. Yeah, I'll go. I've never been before, so I'll go. He rode with me. Megan rode with Jason Cole. Stephen Pendergrass rode with Eric White. We get to the brewery. I could tell Meg was drunk because Jason got out of the truck. There was some music playing you can hear outside, and they was like playing outside the truck. They was kind of like dancing together. And
was Quamir drunk?
I don't think he was like completely drunk at that time. I could tell he had been drinking, but it was, I think she was a little bit more obvious than him. He definitely, you know, could tell he'd been drinking. And we all went in. Like I said, my statement, Hannah, Shearer, and Thad, Joe, Casey, Patterson, and there's another person coming out when we went in. Chris Frogger.
Yeah,
Chris Frogger. They was coming out when we was coming in.
Casey Patterson, too?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
They was coming out. I think I put her in there, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you said Thad, Joe, Hannah, Shearer, Chris
Frogner,
and Casey Patterson.
Yeah. Them four was walking out, and they slowed down and was talking to us. I was kind of standing up texting. I remember some type of conversation about Hannah studying for her test, so she had to do a retake. The people I was with was asking them to come back in. I think Stephen and Eric walked ahead and went ahead and sat down. They were sitting in the back corner of the bar, in the very back. So us four, we walk in, me, Quamir, Megan, and Cole, we walk in. And then we sit at the table with Eric and Steven. Like I said, I sit at the end. Cole sit at one end. Eric and Pendergrass, they sit on one end. Megan and Quamir sat on one side together. they started drinking. Alon was drinking. And I didn't drink. I got some ice cream and some peach cobbler, like, and some water. And the conversation, at this point, that's when I felt like Megan and Kwame was drunk at this point when we was at this restaurant. Like I said, I was doing a lot of texting on my phone, stuff like that, because I was ready to go. But I was listening a little bit, and they, conversation, I think we first started off talking about Megan, if she wanted kids or not. Then it turned into seeming like she had displeasure with her boyfriend, Hunter. She talked about Hunter all the time. I could tell she really liked him. She talked about marriage with him, stuff like that. And she just started talking about her displeasure with him in the bedroom. And it kind of turned into Hunter doesn't do this, and Kwamir seemed to be egging it on like, well, I do that. He don't do this, I do that. He don't do this, I do that. I remember just saying different sexual things that he don't do, and Kwamir was saying he do. Saying that he don't have a problem with his wife, stuff like that. Them kind of whispering in each other's ear at one point, like grabbing each other's head, talking.
You said in a statement that she fed him somebody on peach cobbler.
Yes, sir. She, the waitress gave me two spoons when she came, when he brought it to me. He already had it, but he had them on like a little bowl like this. And then she was like, I guess she saw the two spoons, and she was like, can I have some? So I kind of sat it like this, well, and she reached in and got some from that end, and she ate about three bites, and then she fed him one with the same spoon.
Yeah.
There was a camera right there in the restaurant.
Okay, you said at some point she bent over the table and arched her back?
Yeah, she was saying, she was asking the guys different questions like, what should she do? She was saying one time, should she wear lingerie? Should she do this? Should she do that? Would she seem like a slut if she did this? Or seem like a slut if she did that? And she leaned over the table with her back kind of arched and was like, should I do it like this? It didn't last long, but just me kind of sitting at the end of the table, I was kind of like, you know, like, okay. It wasn't like just blatant, like just sitting, just standing there for a long period of time, but it was something she did do. And that was mainly.
Okay, y'all get back to the campus here and y'all approach Jason Cole's truck. Megan, you said flag y'all down.
Well, they had talked on the phone, mm-hmm. and she called him, or he called her, one of the two, I don't remember.
Who, Jason?
No, Kwamir. I don't know if she called him or he called her.
Okay.
But they was on the phone for me, and he was walking toward the dorm. And then he said he was walking back toward the truck. So we walked back toward the truck. And Jason was in his driver's seat. She was in his passenger seat. She did like this, like, you know, let us know that's the truck, which we all know the truck. He got in behind Jason. I got in behind Megan. And Jason pulled out a bottle and like a Coke.
Bottle of alcohol?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And Kwamir drunk some. And Megan drunk some. I don't remember Jason drinking any in the truck, but he hadn't been drinking that the Mexican restaurant and the brewery. But I don't necessarily recall him drinking in the truck. I'm pretty sure he did because it's his, you know. But I wasn't paying attention to that. And then James Richardson and Lucas Byer came out to the parking lot. And they walked up to the driver's side back window, and they was making some type of jokes with Quamir. At this time, I was like, man, I'm about to go. And I kind of, Megan asked me to stay, and I leaned in, and she put her hand on my head like this, grabbing like that, like when I was about to leave. And she told me to stay. So I ended up just sitting there for a few more minutes, and then Quamir got her phone and called her boyfriend, Hunter. He called Hunter a few times when we was at the restaurant. You could kind of tell the guy was getting aggravated, but he was being nice. I couldn't necessarily hear it close up, but just from what I could hear, the little bit that I could hear, it seemed like the guy was aggravated based on the reaction. Q said something about, Comir said something about him seeming frustrated. I don't remember exactly the guy. And he said something about he was going to call him back or something. But Quamir was on the phone with the guy saying something about, you know, tell your mama happy birthday or something like that. And then we're going to have to hang out sometime. Well, then, okay, so once he got the phone with her boyfriend, I told Megan, I was like, you need to go to your room. You know, that guy getting tired of that. And that's when she seemed to get kind of get sad. And then Quamir got out the back seat and walked around to the passenger seat and was standing outside the truck talking to her. And then that's when he started asking her to come to his truck. His first thing he said was, come take a ride with me. And then the next thing he was saying, he said that one time, the rest of it was, come get in the truck with me. And at one point, I got her pocketbook, phone, and her key out the passenger seat and tried to hand it to her and say, you know, you just need to go to your room. And I told him the same thing, you need to go to your room. Y'all need to go to your room. Because I kind of feel like it was getting out of hand at that point. Like, there's just so many people out here in the parking lot at this point, and it's like that you drunk and it's getting later and later and you still out here. I tried a few more times to get her to go. Eventually he got the pocketbook and the key and stuff out of my hand, and they walked over to his car. She walked over and got in the passenger seat of his Tahoe. And I think I ended up calling my girlfriend on the phone while I was standing in the parking lot and talked to her for a few minutes. And then I walked back over to the truck and was like looking inside of it. And I was like, y'all all right? And he was like, yeah, we all right. And also, Megan, before they got in the truck, she was saying something about being depressed and having a rough life. And she was saying something about, you know, I done talked to Justin about it before or something like that. And he said, yeah, I done talked to him too. You know, you can talk, you know, somebody, you can talk to me. And they were just going back and forth. He was trying to convince her to get in the truck, you know, before she got in there with him. Basically saying anything he could to get her in the truck. I feel like he was just trying to get in the truck at that point so he could get with her, you know. I knew it, you know, common sense will tell you, you know, he ain't just trying to get the girl in the truck to talk to her. And so he got in the truck. And like I said, I got on the phone, I came back and I checked on, and then I walked over to Jason's truck. Charlie was out there at this point, Charlie Johnston. I was talking to him for a few minutes. Him and Jason had that bottle. I think Charlie took a drink of it when I was standing there. I remember walking back to my room, and I talked to James, that's our president, and he was saying something about, you know, I don't think they're going to wake up in the morning, you know. And I said, yeah, I'll go back out there, you know, check on. He was like, yeah, go back out there and check on, see if you can get them to go to their room. So I went back out there, and I went to his Tahoe, and I opened up the back passenger side door, and I leaned my head in, and they was they had the phone on speaker with it sitting on the center console with her boyfriend on the phone, and they was both talking to him, and they was laughing. And that's why I said to my boy, I felt at ease, like, okay, all right, well, they must be wrapping it up, you know, everything gonna be all right. You know, just felt like with them talking on the phone with the boyfriend, that it was about to end, you know, like, she about to go to her room, and it's about to be done at this point. And I looked at Kwame, he kind of turned his head back and looked at me, you know, like, and I was like, you know, come on. And he just looked at me with like a drunk look, like. And that's when I just got out and closed the door and went back to my room. I told James, and I was like, they ain't coming. And James, I think he told me either then or before that he had already talked to Jamie, Kwame's roommate, and that said that, and Karen, Megan's roommate, about getting him up in the morning. And fast forward, I was getting my stuff ready to go to bed and getting settled in for the night. And I think I come out of the bathroom and my door is open, and James done walked outside. So I walk out on the walkway too, and I see Kwame walking down the walkway. And it's at least 7 or 8 of our classmates standing outside. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, I don't know what didn't happen at this point. So I'm thinking, okay, so I guess everybody's standing out here trying to get him to walk back to his room and get him to go in. And I walk down there, and he say something about where Charlie at. And he start knocking on Charlie's door, and he go in Charlie's room, and Matt, his roommate, had opened the door and let him in. Charlie was in bed. And he was saying something about, you know, you're going to talk to me now. Kind of like aggressive, like he was wanting to fight. And Charlie was saying, no, I'll talk to you in the morning. And I walk in, I grab his arm, and Charlie said something like, yeah, Justin, go get him or something, yeah. You know, just get him out of here. And I was like, come on, let's go to my room. And then I get him out of that room, and we getting on the sidewalk, and he kind of caught me a bow up at me, and he's like, you know, don't ever come in between me and somebody again or someone like that. Like bowing up at me, like he mad at me now. And then his roommate, Jamie, walk out. And Jamie just got back from coming home. And Jamie is like, what's going on? You know? And I wasn't paying too much attention, but now it seemed like Kwame was mad at him. You know? So now, it's like sometimes the way they mad at each other. And Kwame say, you, come with me. And he tell me to walk out there with him to like the grass area. And I'm like, what? And he like, he basically told me that him and Meg had had sex in the parking lot and that Charlie busted in on him. he starts saying that he feel like she gonna say something because he, cause she ain't gonna lose that guy. And she gonna say she didn't wanna do it cause she didn't wanna lose that guy. And I'm like, you know, did she wanna do it? He was like, yeah. I don't know if he used the word consensual. I think he used the word consensual, and I don't know. But basically, he said she won. And after that, he went in my room, got mad some more, came back out, argued with Jamie some more, you know, started saying, you know, he a black man, you know. I think he used the N-word a few times, saying, you know, he, you know, is an N. They gonna, you know, call himself that, saying, you know, this girl saying, this white girl saying this, and, you know, him being an N in his mind, it ain't gonna work out too well for him, basically was the gist of what he was saying. So, at that point, I think he argued with Jamie again. He argued with Jamie about three, four times in the sequence is what I remember. And then he was saying he wanted to beat Charlie up or whatever. Beat Charlie A. Then I remember now James Richardson and some other guys, they down there at Meg's room, and I could see through the blind, Meg with her back to the window, like she crying. I knock on the door, because I don't know nothing about all that at this point. I knock on the door, and Karen come to the door, and I'm like, James. And Karen slammed the door in my face and locked the door back. And the rest of the night, just spent trying to calm Quamir down and keep him from walking over to the wooded area while he waited on Carla. Okay. Keep him from fighting people.
Have you seen Quamir act like that before?
No, this is the first time.
Did you talk to Megan at all after this happened?
Yeah, the next day, okay. I came to class, and I knew Quamir was about to come. I knew he was about to come, because he texted me and said he about to come to class. And I asked her, when I seen him in the hallway, coming, I think the door was open, and I asked her if she was all right. She said she don't remember what happened. And I was like, you okay with him sitting behind you? And she said, yeah. And then he sat behind her, and she did like one of these to his own, rubbed his arm, turned around and rubbed his arm, and turned back around. And when was it? I think Friday I texted her and told her, I'm here if she needs anything. I hope she's doing all right. Because I mostly hung out with Quamir while I've been at the academy here, but Megan pretty much been everywhere that I go as far as training. Because she a drug agent, I'm a drug agent. So they sent us the basic warrant service in Gypsy for a week, she was there. They sent us to this class or that class, she been there. And like I never seen neither one of them acted like that, because even when we were staying at a hotel for basic warrant service, and when we also took a meth lab training with Megan. From what I remember in basic warrant service, we were staying, like I said, we were staying at a hotel in Forsyth. She went to her room. She went out with no guys at nighttime, from what I remember.
Okay, man.
I feel like they both got drunk, and overall it turned into my boyfriend doesn't do this, and you got a guy saying, I will do this. And you get to the parking lot, and he, you know, basically was convincing her to get in the car, you know, in attempt, you know, to get with her.
You think it was consensual?
I do, based on the way she was talking, sexual, the way, like I said, it's the hallway, the classroom, what classroom was it? The classroom we was in downstairs, it's cameras, I mean, I believe, the same morning, you know, she bent over the hallway, getting some lint off her backside. And, you know, it's camera at the restaurant, she bending over at the table. I think it was consensual the way she was talking about sex all night.
So do you think that she didn't remember what happened?
I think she probably did. She might not want to say it. But we did have a conversation at at a Mexican restaurant. She said she a light drinker. She gets drunk fast. She can't handle that much alcohol. And like when we was at the brewery, she was, you know. So it's possible that she did get that drunk. I don't know how much she drunk after I left. You know, I don't know if her and Kwame had a bottle. I don't know. I think Jason put that bottle in his truck. But I don't know what happened after I left. Everything was good when I went. When I left and when I went to my room, they was on three-way with her boyfriend on the phone talking about hanging out and laughing and joking. I remember Kwame saying, she loved you. She loved you, something like that. And, I mean, I knew it was kind of like a front, like you just trying to get this girl, man.
Okay, Justice. Anything else you want to say before I turn the tape recorder on?
No, sir. You got any more questions?
No. I think you've covered everything in your memo and anything else that I had questions about. I appreciate your honesty. And it's time now, 7:04 p.m. I'm going to turn the tape recorder off.